I'll be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Kansas City Chiefs, they are 3-for-3 after falling behind by double-digit points.
Williams at the right pylon, touchdown! Kansas City regains the lead.
Don't call it a comeback.
The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54.
We had to fight for right to party!
Was I all about the Andy Reid Gatorade bath?
Most important thing I wanted to do was get the Lombardi Trophy for the greatest coach of all time, Andy Reid, baby!
Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Next year, we're coming right back here. One more time, baby.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
How about those Chiefs?
One of the songs I use to encourage me or to fire me up when I'm hit the wall in the middle of a long run or a half marathon. And actually, a couple of times, that's the song I've used my last, say, half mile before I finished my half marathon so that I could listen to it as I was crossing the finish line. I love Carrie Underwood, and that song's terrific. Did you know Carrie's about to become a new judge on American Idol? No, I take it back. The Voice. I think it's The Voice. Shoot, now I am second guessing myself.
Not going to lie to you, though. When I looked at you a little bit puzzled when you said that she was about to become a judge, I thought you meant about, like, you know, she was about to become a Supreme Court justice or something like that. But no. There was a split second
you
there.
You don't
where
go
I lost.
From entertainer to Supreme Court justice.
Well,
no, it's not possible.
Some people do go from entertainment to DC, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, but there's a process for Supreme Court justices that you have to be appointed. You have to come up through first of all, you have to be a judge. Second of all, you
that's
have to
why
come
I thought
up through.
That's why I was confused, because it looked like Kelly Clarkson was about to have a career change for a split second. And then you said,
wait, are we talking about Kelly or Carrie?
Who'd you just, Carrie Underwood, excuse me.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes, it is. Idol. It is American Idol.
That's
she's
a lot.
She's replacing Katy Perry as American Idol judge. Always go with your first answer. Yes, because she got her start on American Idol.
I thought that show got canceled a couple of times.
American Idol?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Didn't it get canceled a couple? Is it still on Fox?
They continue to do the various judge changes and all that jazz. But yeah, she's replacing Katy Perry as a judge.
Is Randy Jackson still on that show?
I don't watch the show. I have no idea. Oh. I just love Carrie. And I know it's kind of neat for her to have the chance to give back because that's how her career got launched. So good for Carrie. Anyway, her voice is amazing and her music is terrific. And I got off on a tangent because I got distracted by her song Champion there at the beginning. But it's fitting for this week, is it not? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. 3 hours from the weekend. And boy, do I have a doozy of a story for you. So when we get, I don't know if we'll get to it this hour, maybe top of next hour, just because it affects us once again. And I do not know where the cutoff is for the rest of you, but I think I've already hit it. We've already hit it in my household. The cutoff when it comes to money spent on apps and streaming services and cable and everything else. And I was blown away by the price of this new joint streaming service that will launch sometime soon. I can't believe how much it costs. I'm stunned, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook and also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Every day, more and more of you tell me that you, in fact, are going to start calling it Twix as well. Some people are just now catching on, and then there are people who are still supremely annoyed at the fact that I'm calling it Twix. What is it to you? Who cares if I call it Twix or Twitter, or I refuse to call it X. I'm not calling it X. He stole it from someone else. Anyway, Twix is fine. It's a candy bar. We love candy bars. Well, I love candy bars. In fact, if I could eat anything I wanted and indulge myself every single day because
like
I burn
Katie Ledecky?
As many calories as Katie Ledecky, then absolutely I'd be eating chocolate every day. After doing yard work, because I was cranky, there was only one way to feel better, and that was a Greek yogurt. I like Greek yogurt with chocolate chips in it. So that was my compromise, eating something healthy like low-fat Greek yogurt, but throwing some chocolate chips in it. And it instantly made my Thursday better. I was so cranky over the yard work in 90-something degrees. That is it's unnecessary. 855-212-4227. We did have preseason football on Thursday evening in Canton, Ohio. Are you kidding me? It's already back? I mean, it's fake, but it's still back.
Colin Johnson out to the left side with Pettis to the right with Swain. Snap back with good protection. Throwing to the end zone. Coming open. Colin Johnson. Left side. Touchdown, baby. Touchdown, Bears. They've taken the lead here in Canton. 20-17 over the Texans.
Well, as feared, weather has moved into the area in the offing. And so with the severe weather approaching, we have a canceled game, suspended, officially shortened. It's happened several times in Hall of Fame games. 1980, Packers in San Diego with 5:29 to go. Here, 3:31 to go in the third. The Bears will get the win, 21-17.
Oh!
Yeah, he kept going on a tangent.
Well, I know, but let's fade it out so it's not so abrupt. Clip! This is something I would have edited out had I listened to it first, but I didn't because I didn't have a chance to get to all the audio. Yeah, doesn't sound as good when we cut him off right in the middle of a sentence. You want to play it again just so you can hear how abrupt it is? If you're out there driving around, Manny, and that's what you heard, what is your reaction to that?
21-17. 21-17.
Does it sound like a clip's at the end right there?
Uh-huh.
21-17.
My bad, America.
At the very least, you can use the fade out button. That's a great tool, by the way. It's one of my favorites when it comes to editing. If you're trying to mask something at the end, fade out button. Also, what's a jarrito?
A jarrito?
A jarrito.
It's a Mexican soda.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, delicious.
What does it taste like?
This one, there's a bunch of different flavors. I have a t-shirt on for those on the road. I have a t-shirt on that has one of my favorite Mexican sodas labels on it. This one tastes like orange soda. It's Mandarin flavored.
Is that why the t-shirt is orange?
That's right. And this is also what the bottle looks like. What the soda looks like.
You're dressed up like a bottle.
Essentially, yes. I am dressed
like dressed up for Halloween, like a bottle of jarrito.
No, I will probably grow out my mustache and be a famous mustached person. Maybe
Paul Skeens?
Paul Skeens, Nestor Cortez.
You could pass as Paul Skeens.
What's the name of the singer from Queen? My gosh.
Oh, sorry, that's not my genre.
Oh my god. The guy with the mustache. Oh, this is gonna kill me.
It doesn't matter. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Okay, let's get back to the task at hand. I got sidetracked by jarrito. Jarrito. I just like the word now. Now I want to try it. I have no idea what a jarrito is. Yes, so you hear Mark Vandermeer. Was that Mark? No, that wasn't Mark Vandermeer. Who was that? That was Jim Joniak on Bears Radio. It's preseason. They call off the Hall of Fame game with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. But what we did get to see are the brand new kickoff formations. Not a huge sample size, but a few. And it's interesting, right? It's a change in rules, theoretically, to prevent injuries from happening. And the idea is that guys do not have the length of the field to run, so they're not colliding into each other with the force of having been full speed. Instead, they start a few yards apart and they cannot move from their starting point until the ball is touched. And the ball is touched maybe 10 yards behind them. Where they are, they have to watch. When the ball is touched or caught, they are allowed to then move and try to create lanes if they're the receiving team, or, of course, get through if they are on the kicking team. And I like this discussion. What I heard on the broadcast is that some athletes who are going through this for the first time are describing it more like a run play. So it's more like a running back trying to get through the line, and that's how they're clashing on these kickoffs, is kind of that speed and those types of formations. So it's nothing like what we've seen in the past. At the same time, it didn't yield different results, really. So the opening kickoff was a 21-yard return, and he got tackled at the 26, which is just 1 yard beyond where a touchback would have landed the Texans. And then when the Texans kicked off following their touchdown drive and the Bears received, he had the same thing, 21-yard return. And so it really didn't yield a whole lot of dramatic differences, at least in this first game. But we did hear from some of the guys who were involved on special teams that it does protect them a little more initially. Again, we've got a very small sample size. And what Tyler Scott said, and he is a Bears receiver, what he said is that guys aren't getting a full head of steam coming down the field, taking shots on people. But I think for the most part, it'll work out pretty good. Just think we'll have a lot of explosive plays. And there were a handful of kickoffs on Thursday. Only one had a touchback. Now, that's different. Again, one game, one touchback, and eight kickoffs. That's all we have to go on. But last year, the touchback happened nearly 75% of the time, which was a very high rate. It goes back to 1970. And so they're still trying to figure out what it looks like. And actually, this is kind of fun. I'm not sure if you heard this, but Mike Tomlin worked with Madden on designing the new kickoff for the game. And then he and apparently his family are using the game to try to help them figure out the new kickoff.
My sons play all the EA Sports games. Man, I got a lot of respect for the realism of their product. We reached out to those guys and wanted to just kind of get a visual maybe of some of the schematics, how the alignment might affect the timing of blocks and so forth. That game is more than entertainment from my perspective. It is a real simulator. We as a staff are moving very intentionally regarding the implementation of the new kickoff rule. We don't want to teach bad habits. It's some new skills being displayed in a lot of ways, particularly from a kicker's perspective, having to drop the ball in the landing zone and so forth. You know, we're really excited about the unforeseen in this concept.
He is always excited. Right. He's always got a great perspective and a unique vocabulary with which to deliver his perspective. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So that's Mike Tomlin, and kind of a cool role that he's had in helping to design the video graphics and what it'll look like on Madden. And he talks about his sons playing the games. Just good stuff. I think once teams have a couple of weeks of actual regular season to work on this, and preseason can help, but we don't always see starters in preseason. Maybe more so on the kickoffs, though, if coaches want to get those guys out there to have them practice and implement. But what we're hearing is that a lot of the teams are spending big time reps during training camp trying to get used to this, and as Mike Tomlin says, so they don't develop bad habits. Let's see. Colin Johnson, not only did he catch a touchdown pass in this game on Thursday evening, but he was also part of special teams, and here's his reaction.
You never know until you come in the game and play. Just definitely the speed and the timing of it is just drastically different. It's so much faster. So, you know, we practice it every single day for the most part, but at the end of the day, you don't know until you go in the game and everyone's full speed, you're hitting, stuff like that. But HT does a great job of, you know, providing us game-like drills.
So, yeah, they working on it. They're trying to figure it out. And during the preseason, at least they are practicing and lining up against guys from another roster. By the way, my mistake, please forgive me. It's Jeff Joniak, who is the Bears play-by-play announcer, not Jim. And I've known Jeff for a long time. I just am not in my midseason form when it comes to remembering names and when it comes to remembering broadcast teams. So I will get there, not there yet. Well, maybe, just maybe, it's all of us who have to get into mid-season form. So this is just the first preseason game. And what exactly do coaches look for in preseason? First, I would say, I'm answering for them. First, I would say you're looking to come out of the game completely healthy. You're looking to come out of it without any season-ending injuries. And, of course, you're trying to evaluate because at some point you'll have to make cuts on your roster deep down.
We just want to see who can go out and just play. And that's what you see. Some guys step up in these moments, and some guys have a longer way to go. But you learn from it and you build from it. You see how guys, where they start. It's not about where they start. It's about how they show up next week. So that's what I'm most excited to see is how guys show up the following week.
That's DeMeco Ryans heading into year number two as the head coach of the Texans. And it's kind of neat because he was teammates with Andre Johnson, the great wide receiver for the Texans, who is part of this year's Hall of Fame class. And he was introduced along with guys like Dwight Freeney and Devin Hester and Julius Peppers, also part of this class. I'm not looking, I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. But yeah, really decorated class, and it was cool to see them introduced beforehand. And they showed DeMeco Ryans on camera when his former teammate Andre Johnson walked onto the field.
Really special for us as an organization to be here and support Andre with his enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. Seeing him there pregame, it starts to set in a little bit more like it's about to happen. So excited for Andre. Couldn't be another guy more deserving than Andre, being the first Houston Texan to go into, you know, football heaven, right? To go into the Hall of Fame, right? To get his bus here in Canton. Very special moment for Dre. And I know I'm just so happy just to be here to support Andre and his enshrinement. And it's a special weekend for all of us.
So good to see a little bit of football. Good to have some football on our TV, even if it didn't feature the names like Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud and some of the others that we'll see when the regular season kicks off. But it was there. It was Hall of Fame. And it was the start. August 1st, Thursday, August 1st. Man, it seems like it came quickly this summer, but there's a lot going on. Online at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page as well. Glad to have you with us. Some QB news that could affect a pair of starters by the time the season kicks off. So we'll let you know who they are. It's all about trying to stay healthy through these first games, these first weeks. And when you start out with quarterback issues, that's rough. So we'll deliver the latest here coming up. Happy Almost Friday. Good to have you. It's the first weekend of August. Straight ahead, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
11 seconds on the clock. Herbert. Keenan. No, it's Parham. Parham into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Donald Parham with a second and third effort to cash it in.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
This is not what Chargers fans wanted to hear. Well, you want to hear plenty of that. Justin Herbert touchdown pass from 2023. And now with a brand new coach who should be able to get the best out of Herbert and potentially guide him to the next level. And Jim Harbaugh, not only a former NFL head coach before Michigan, but is a former QB as well. And so they speak the same language. And I know there's a lot of excitement about having Harbaugh in the building with the Chargers, except right now, Justin Herbert is unable to play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Matt Smith on the call on the Chargers Radio Network. Now, Herbert is one of those quarterbacks where I feel like he needs better coaching, better people around him to take him to the next level. We've seen the raw talent. Remember, he got pressed into duty so early in his rookie season, wasn't expected to be out there on the field, and he was a revelation. He was terrific. But the Chargers haven't been able to take advantage of his talent, and a lot of that has to do with coaching and the people around him. Of course, they've had talent. They've also dealt with injuries. But really, it's been about the leadership. It's been about the coaching. And so he goes out, and in his rookie season in 2020, when he's pressed into duty, gosh, wasn't it a Tyrod Taylor? Was it some type of a rib injury that he got pulled from a game literally an hour before they were supposed to kick off? And Herbert got pressed into duty, played well, and they never went back to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think Tyrod Taylor, didn't the team doctor like puncture his lung?
Oh, that's right. Some type of was it a shot they were going to give him?
Yeah,
and ended up having a lung issue, right? So in 2020, he gets pressed into duty. He plays 15 games. He passes for 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, and 10 picks. His passer rating that season was higher than at any other point in his career. So we raved about him. Then in 21, 17 games, so played all 17 games, over 5,000 yards passing, 38 touchdowns, and 15 picks. In 22, he got sacked more, ended up getting sacked 38 times, but passed for 4,700 yards, 25 TDs, 10 picks. Last season, had a couple of games in which he was hurt, 13 games, 3,100 yards, 20 TDs, 7 picks. So it's been a mixed bag. What they need is better coaching. What they need is better leadership. And I think you could see that with Jim Harbaugh. But right now, in his first training camp with the Chargers, there is no Herbert, at least on the field, because he's got plantar fascia. Now, I've never had it. I've heard from Boomer Esiason that it is extremely painful. Yeah, never had it. But I know that it can just be really, really painful for the bottom of your foot, right? And so he's going to be in a walking boot for 2 weeks, according to the team. And then they're going to have to work him back into the various drills and then full contact. And Jim Harbaugh didn't really want to say much more than that. There was a team released a statement. So there was a team statement that got put out there, and he wasn't really interested on adding any details.
No update. I thought the statement was very thorough. Preparation continues in full speed ahead.
All right. I don't know that he'll be as curt as Bill Belichick, but you wouldn't expect to get a whole lot of him when it comes to player status. And at this point, we know what we need to know, so I appreciate that. However, the fact that he's not able to be out there and kind of run through new offense, new voice in his head, new coordinators, new system, all that jazz. What about developing that chemistry with the rest of the offense?
The preparation, the work continues. He's not on the field in the practice, but meeting room, still in a training environment. That chemistry, that rapport that you build with those position players, his teammates. That continues.
I like the answer to his question, or the answer to a question about whether or not Herbert was injured on a particular play, or if this is something that's been building up to this week. And he responds with, "I'm not qualified to know that information." Oh, okay. You're on a need-to-know basis, and apparently the head coach does not need to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At the end of last year, he had a broken right index finger that ended his season. So he missed the last few games. And the Chargers, they were winless the rest of the way. He's critical to what they want to do, but more so that relationship between him and Jim Harbaugh. Of course, they want to develop it quickly. Now, It's also West Coast, but it's the NFC West, not the AFC West, like the Chargers. We're finding out that Geno Smith was not at practice on Thursday or Wednesday. And according to Mike McDonald, brand new head coach, youngest head coach in the league, Geno is dealing with a pair of injuries. And so according to McDonald, he got banged up a little bit on Tuesday, and we don't know which injuries they are. This is like hockey. Actually, it's even less specific than hockey when they say lower body, upper body injury. According to clandestine sources out there, it's hip and knee issues. So Mike McDonald would neither confirm nor deny, but hip and knee issues. McDonald would only say that right now he's not with the team and they're monitoring, and yeah, it's all very vague, but I wonder if Seahawks fans are a little nervous.
Just working through a couple things from the other day, but get some imaging tonight and we'll see.
Expect them back tomorrow?
I don't know about tomorrow, but we'll see what comes out of when he goes and sees the doc.
This is why you don't ask yes, no questions. The reporter follows up with, do you expect him back tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow. You set him up. He was able to walk right into it. Yeah, the question would be, when do you expect him back? This is what I tell my students or any young people that I mentor, if I do classes, that kind of stuff. Go with those, is it 6 or 7 questions that you learned when you were in English class as a kid writing a book report. Who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much. So 7, right? Who, what, where, when, why, how, and how much. Manny is currently counting them on his fingers. I like that.
Not great at math.
It's not math. It's,
well,
it's
counting. Counting is math.
That's not math.
Yeah, well.
Oh my gosh. So no hat for you on this edition of the show.
That's right. Decided to let the hair follicles breathe a little bit.
Mm. Now, do you ascribe to the theory? It may be an old wives' tale. I don't know which wives. It may be an old wives' tale that you lose your hair if you wear a hat too often.
Yeah, yeah. That's a topic that comes up often in my household when my mother sees me with a hat on.
Really?
Oh,
so
yeah.
She believes the old wives' tale.
Oh, yeah. She believes it as well.
Do
yes.
You, though, because it's your hair?
Not necessarily. I do believe that my hair is falling out because I do enjoy taking showers in absolutely pure hot water. So that falling onto my scalp is not great for my hair, but...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, hot water is not great.
I had no idea that hot water made your hair fall out.
That's, well, not fall out, thin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not spectacular.
Also didn't know that. I'll have to ask my hubby if he knows that. So this is kind of a cool thing. Even though he's slightly older than me, he has a full head of hair. Yay. And
oh, man.
His father also had a full head of hair into his 80s. And he passed away late last year, but also had a full head of hair. So kind of happy about that. My father, who is in his, what is he, mid-70s, he still has a full head of hair, my biological father, and my brother also has a full head of hair. So I'm hoping that all the good genes are helpful as we age and get old. I'm trying to think if my mom still has a full head of hair. I still have more hair than I need. My hair is so, it's just so big, especially in the summer humidity. Also, the whole really hot shower thing in the middle of the summer. Oh.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I have an air conditioner in my bedroom that's way too strong. That's way too strong for my bedroom. My bedroom is small
then
enough.
Why don't you turn it down?
I already have it on low.
Oh.
On one of the lowest settings that you can mm-hmm. possibly have that thing. So, I mean, once I get out the incredibly hot shower, go right into my bedroom and it's probably 60 degrees in there.
Oh, wow. 60 degrees on low?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Can you close the vents a little bit?
Here's the thing about the air conditioner.
Is this a window unit?
Yes, it is. Here's the thing about this air conditioner. It doesn't have any buttons. It still just has knobs. It's from like the 80s, 90s, still kicking.
That's
still
awesome.
Working. And yeah, it's too strong for my bedroom. It's awesome.
I like that. I'm not a huge fan of window units. They're a huge pain in the ass. But if it works like that, why would you change? So my house, we have central AC because Penny and I, we could not do without AC when we had to sleep during the daytime in the summer. So I do definitely appreciate the AC, except in a Cape with the high roof, it's a lot harder to keep it cooler. So we have tried all manner of things, but still, this is how it is. It's a very powerful and efficient unit, so it works like a charm downstairs where the hubs is working all day while I'm trying to sleep upstairs. Oh, man, it's a tough balancing act because if we turn it down to 68, well, then it's serviceable upstairs, but then he's freezing downstairs. See, I prefer the cold. He prefers the heat. So we're just opposite in many ways.
That's the Texan in him, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. He says he's used to it. He's built for it, I guess, is how he puts it. All right, coming up, another injury to an all-star, well, all-star, all-pro, Pro Bowl. See, I got to get my football lingo back. And top of the hour, oh, they're asking for more money. I'm seriously blown away by this. Maybe I'm the only one, but I cannot believe how much the next big streaming service is going to cost. Glad to have you with us at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. You can always find the link to our podcast. It's actually at the top of our Facebook page now because I don't have a chance to post every day. And then online, if you Google it, you should be able to find it. Oh, goodness. I'm watching Devin Hester return the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl for a touchdown and thinking, we may never have that again.
That's one of my earliest Super Bowl memories.
That's awesome. Only one who's ever returned the opening kickoff of a Super Bowl for a touchdown and now is headed to the Hall of Fame. Happy Almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Getting closer to a Friday, first weekend in August. I hope you have some fun plans. We might actually do a beach day. It would be the first time for my hubs in New Jersey at the Jersey Shore. So we'll see. Except Saturday is supposed to be more cloudy. It is going to be warm, but supposed to be more cloudy and supposed to be thunderstorms in the afternoon. So we'll make a game time decision, if you will. Well, right now it's day to day. It's touch and go. But hopefully we'll get into the beach. I think otherwise we're going to be super nerdy and start a new puzzle. You can make fun of me all you want. I couldn't care less. I love puzzles. Yep, Manny just flashed me an L because he thinks I'm a loser.
But I joke, I kid.
Puzzles are amazing. And not just that, my Grammy Helen did puzzles well into her 100th year. So she was still doing puzzles until the very end. And I believe that's one reason why her brain remained very sharp.
That's what I was about to say. Good for this thing up here.
If you use your brain to do puzzles or to learn a new language or to play an instrument and read music, all of those things, learn a new skill, they can all help you to keep your brain sharp even into the later stages of your life. And she was very sharp and with it and had no issues at all and mentally until the end. Tired, of course, and sometimes would tell the same stories more than once, but goodness, I think all of us do that. So yes, I'm excited about a puzzle on Friday. I'm trying to convince him that we should start a 2,000-piece puzzle, which would take probably the rest of the year, because we won't work on it every day. It'll be one of those things where we put on the dining room table and then cover it up with placemats, probably. My mom is visiting in a couple weeks, and so she'll enjoy doing the puzzle as well. But yeah, we're not sure yet. I'm trying to talk him into a 2,000 piece, but right now he's focused on a 1,000 piece.
What's on the puzzle? Picture of?
All kinds of different things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have one 2,000 piece puzzle that my niece gave me during the pandemic. It was my birthday present in 2020, and it was great company. It took me probably 4 or 5 months to do on my own, but it was a greenhouse with a various assortment of plants and garden tools.
It's very Amy.
Oh, yeah, boots and all these really brilliant and fun colors. I have another one that's a beach scene, of course, that's, well, it's from inside a beach house and you can see the beach out. So it's got all the different items that you would need in a beach house. And actually, it might even be more like a lifeguard shack looking from the inside out. So yeah, lots of bright colors and fun stuff. And we'll see. We have other mountain scenes or country scenes. Winter ones are fun. Animals. Believe it or not, the last puzzle that we did, which was earlier, we first got married, it was an Ewok. Protect the forest was the banner across the top with the Ewok. Man, it's hard to do a puzzle with an Ewok because he's got a lot of fur. It was a lot of fur that looks the same. And he's in the forest where a lot of the trees, the green and the brown wood look the same. So yeah, totally nerds, do not care. Couldn't care even a little bit less what you think of me. We're big puzzle people in my family. And also we love to do, oh, well, my brother, this is amazing. I don't have this puzzle, but he got it for Christmas. One of my nieces gave him a 2,000-piece Lord of the Rings puzzle. So if anyone out there has a 2,000-piece Star Wars puzzle that you'd like to donate to the Amy Lawrence Foundation, you feel free, because that would be awesome. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we enjoy puzzles. If we don't go to the beach, I'm not sure what else we'll do. Maybe be a little lazy. We've always got movies and such that we want to watch. I'm sure we'll cook or grill and stuff like that. So looking forward to just not staying up all night and being at work. That's mostly what I'm looking forward to.
You're not going to indulge in any of the games in Paris?
You know what? Friday is a non-sports night in my house, always, because I need to give my brain a break. And unlike most people, and I don't, not all people, because there's plenty of us who work in sports, but unlike most people that are listening to the show right now, sports are not entertainment for me anymore. They're work. And so if you're a plumber, do you go home and do plumbing on Friday nights? Well, not unless you have to. If you're a teacher, do you go home and practice your math problems on a Friday night? Probably not, unless you're my mom. She did calculus for fun. Yeah, I do not pay attention to sports when I'm on vacation, and I don't pay attention to sports when I'm off for a long weekend, and I don't pay attention to sports on Friday nights, because if I never take a break, it would be, well, first of all work and no play would make Amy extremely dull, but I wouldn't be any good at my job if I never took a break. You just, at this point, after 25 years of sports, it's work. And as much as I enjoy talking about it, and as much as I will get into it when I'm here on the air and you know me for my energy and my passion, sports are work now. They're not nearly as much fun as they used to be when I was getting in the business. I tried to warn Jay. Maybe this is why he left. No, it's not why he left. But I try to warn people, just wait till you've been in the business 10 years, 20 years. And it's not just me. I actually, this is kind of funny. I spoke to a friend of mine who's a former NFL QB, who's now an analyst. And he said to me at the Super Bowl, I just can't wait for football to be over. This is a guy, same thing, who makes his living in football and played football and loves football. But A, we can't miss you if you never go away. And that's my theory for sports too, is I can't miss you. My passion would wane if I did it 24/7. And football's coming when it's 6.5 days a week. But I definitely do not pay attention to sports on Friday night. Unless, like, for some reason there happens to be a playoff game on a Friday night that I have to pay attention to, but not this time of the year. And definitely try to take as much of my Saturday and keep it unscheduled and for myself, because otherwise Sundays it's back to work. And yeah, I would get burnt out a lot more than I have in my 25-year career. There have been a lot of times where I felt burnt out, and what I've found is that I need balance. Isn't that a thing that people talk about all the time, work-life balance?
100%. I'm still in search of it.
Right. Well, I know early in my career, I didn't have any of it. And I made a lot of sacrifices in my personal life to be able to get to the point where I am in my career. I'm absolutely positive. That's one reason that I didn't get married until much later in life. I wouldn't change any of it now, but I also wouldn't go back and do it again. And I did figure out that the best way to maintain my passion for what I do and my energy for you all on the show is to take a break. And I tell young broadcasters that it'll still be there when you get back. It first of all, it continues on without you and it won't miss you. You're not that important. And when you get back, oh no, it's true. Come on, think about it. If I quit the show tomorrow, there'd be 8,700 people who'd want this job. Like, if I dropped dead and croaked in the studio, you'd get one 24-hour news cycle of, oh, how sad, RIP Amy, oh, prayers and thoughts and all that jazz. And then within 24 hours, there'd be thousands of applicants ready to take the job. Sports, yeah, no one transcends this gig, really. There's a handful of people, but sports never stop. They'll continue on without you. And the one story that I tell people, it's when I finally learned this lesson. I was on a cruise from Seattle to Alaska and then back through Victoria, British Columbia, and then Seattle. And I was gone for over a week. And on the ship, we had very limited TV. Closed circuit TV is what we had in our little stateroom. We had no windows. We were below the water level. It was amazing sleeping. Anyway, we had closed circuit TV and ESPN was one of the channels. I was gone for 10 days. The same story for 10 days. So to tell you what summer this was. Is Brett Favre retiring or is he coming back? Is Brett Favre retiring or is he coming back? Is Brett Favre retiring or is he unretiring? Every single day we were gone. And what I realized is there's nothing new under the sun. Even if you miss one of the greatest games of all time, so what? Talk about it when you get back, and there'll be another one next year. That's how sports are. They just keep on moving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.